This is a little bit like an army's armory, where you get your weapons, where you get your ammunition. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 139. This is our daily appointment to read God's Word together, and I'm glad you're here. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome. How are you today? Today, I'm feeling much better. I guess I just had one of those 24-hour things. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading today will be Luke chapters 3 and 4. If you would like to know what Bible translations I'm using today, you can find that at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 139. I live in California, and here, almost every teenager really looks forward to their 16th birthday, because that's when they can get their learner's permit to drive at 16 years. Well, this month, LifeSpring Media can learn how to drive, because November 13th is LifeSpring Media's birthday. It'll be birthday or anniversary number 16. If you'd like, you can go over to lifespringmedia.com and look in the About section to learn how LifeSpring Media got started. Just look for About Steve Webb. But I decided that it'd be kind of fun if we did some fundraising based around the number 16. How does that work? Well, we've got a $16.16 donation. There's a palindrome donation of $161.61, or another palindrome donation of 616.16, 616.16. Each one of these donations has different bonuses that go along with them. With the $16.16 donation, you'll be thanked by name on the November 13th, 2020 episode of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. And on each one of these levels, if you prefer to remain anonymous, you can do that by noting that in the comment section of the donation form at the bottom of the page at lifespringmedia.com/support. In addition to on-the-air thanks, you'll get a PDF version of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. And with the 161.61 palindrome donation, you'll be thanked on the air. You'll also receive a PDF version of my book, and you'll get an MP3 version of my book. And that's with me pronouncing every name in the Bible. And in addition to that, you'll also get a soft cover edition of my book. Yes, I will mail a book out to you. And last but certainly not least, you'll get executive producer credit on the November 13th, 2020 episode of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. You'll get that credit on the show itself and also on the show notes page for that episode. Now, normally, the executive producer credit is reserved for donations $300 and above. Now, for the big one, the 616.16 palindrome donation, you'll be thanked on the show. You'll get a PDF version. You'll get the MP3 version. You'll get a soft cover edition of my book signed by me. And you'll get executive producer credit on the November 13th show and every show thereafter until December 31st, 2020. And by the way, executive producer credits are legitimate because executive producers are usually responsible for financing a particular project. These credits can actually be listed on IMDb, LinkedIn, and any place that one would list such credits. You can put them on your CV, you can put them on your resume, you can put them wherever such things would be listed. And I'll vouch for all executive producer credits earned by donations to LifeSpring Media. If somebody questions you about it, have them contact me, and I'll vouch for you. How do you do all this? Again, you go to lifespringmedia.com/support. And also, if you want to just send an email telling what LifeSpring Media has meant to you or how you found LifeSpring Media or anything having to do with it, I'll read those on the show. Audio files are welcome as well. Just record something and email me the MP3. Whatever you'd like to contribute to the festivities on Friday, November 13th, I welcome them. Let's have some fun with this. The 16th anniversary of LifeSpring Media. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, I pray that you would speak to each one of us who hears. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see what you have for us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we get started? Luke chapter 3. It was now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was governor over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis. Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled and the mountains and hills made level. The curves will be straightened and the rough places made smooth. And then all the people will see the salvation sent from God.'" When the crowds came to John for baptism, he said, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." The crowds asked, "What should we do?" John replied, "If you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry." Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, "Teacher, what should we do?" He replied, "Collect no more taxes than the government requires." "What should we do?" asked some soldiers. John replied, "Don't extort money or make false accusations, and be content with your pay." Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their questions by saying, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire." John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. John also publicly criticized Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs he had done. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to his many others. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit, in bodily form, descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry. Jesus was known as the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Heli. Heli was the son of Matthat. Matthat was the son of Levi. Levi was the son of Melchi. Melchi was the son of Janai. Janai was the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Mattathias. Mattathias was the son of Amos. Amos was the son of Nahum. Nahum was the son of Esli. Esli was the son of Nagai. Nagai was the son of Maath. Maath was the son of Mattathias. Mattathias was the son of Simeon. Simeon was the son of Josech. Josech was the son of Joda. Joda was the son of Joanan. Joanan was the son of Resa. Resa was the son of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the son of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the son of Neri. Neri was the son of Melchi. Melchi was the son of Adai. Adai was the son of Cosam. Cosam was the son of Elmadam. Elmadam was the son of Ur. Ur was the son of Joshua. Joshua was the son of Eliezer. Eliezer was the son of Joram. Joram was the son of Matthat. Matthat was the son of Levi. Levi was the son of Simeon. Simeon was the son of Judah. Judah was the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jonam. Jonam was the son of Eliakim. Eliakim was the son of Melea. Melea was the son of Menna. Menna was the son of Mattatha. Mattatha was the son of Nathan. Nathan was the son of David. David was the son of Jesse. Jesse was the son of Obed. Obed was the son of Boaz. Boaz was the son of Salmon. Salmon was the son of Nahshon. Nahshon was the son of Amminadab. Amminadab was the son of Admon. Admon was the son of Arni. Arni was the son of Hezron. Hezron was the son of Perez. Perez was the son of Judah. Judah was the son of Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham was the son of Terah. Terah was the son of Nahor. Nahor was the son of Serug. Serug was the son of Reu. Reu was the son of Peleg. Peleg was the son of Eber. Eber was the son of Shelah. Shelah was the son of Canaan. Canaan was the son of Arphaxad. Arphaxad was the son of Shem. Shem was the son of Noah. Noah was the son of Lamech. Lamech was the son of Methuselah. Methuselah was the son of Enoch. Enoch was the son of Jared. Jared was the son of Mahalalel. Mahalalel was the son of Kenan. Kenan was the son of Enosh. Enosh was the son of Seth. Seth was the son of Adam. Adam was the son of God. Luke chapter 4. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit when he returned from the Jordan River. Then he was led by the Holy Spirit to a desert. He was tempted by the devil for 40 days and ate nothing during that time. After that, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to be made into bread." Jesus said to him, "It is written, man is not to live by bread alone." The devil took Jesus up on a high mountain. He had Jesus look at all the nations of the world at one time. The devil said to Jesus, "I will give you all this power and greatness. It has been given to me. I can give it to anyone I want to. If you will worship me, all this will be yours." Jesus said to the devil, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you must worship the Lord your God. You must obey him only." Then the devil took Jesus up to Jerusalem. He had Jesus stand on the highest part of the house of God. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he has told his angels to care for you and to keep you. In their hands they will hold you up. Then your foot will not hit against a stone." Jesus said to the devil, "It is written, you must not tempt the Lord your God." When the devil finished tempting Jesus in every way, he went away from Jesus for a while. Jesus went back to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. People talked about him so much that he was well known through all the country. Jesus taught in their places of worship and was honored by all people. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up. As he had done before, he went into the Jewish place of worship on the day of rest. Then he stood up to read. Someone handed him the book of the early preacher Isaiah. He opened it and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has put his hand on me to preach the good news to poor people. He has sent me to heal those with a sad heart. He has sent me to tell those who are being held that they can go free. He has sent me to make the blind to see and to free those who are held because of trouble. He sent me to tell of the time when men can receive favor from the Lord." Jesus closed the book, then he gave it back to the leader and sat down. All those in the Jewish place of worship kept their eyes on him. Then he began to say to them, "The holy writings you have just heard have been completed today." They all spoke well of Jesus and agreed with the words he spoke. They said, "Is not this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "I wonder if you will tell this old saying to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself.' What you did in the city of Capernaum, do in your own country." He said, "A man who speaks for God is not respected in his own country. It is true that there were many women whose husbands had died in the Jewish land when Elijah lived. For 3.5 years there was no rain, and there was very little food in the land. Elijah was sent to none of them, but he was sent to a woman in the city of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. This woman's husband had died. There were many people in the Jewish land who had a bad skin disease when the early preacher Elisha lived. None of them was healed, but Naaman from the country of Syria was healed." All those in the Jewish place of worship were angry when they heard these words. They got up and took Jesus out of town to the top of a high hill. they wanted to throw him over the side. But Jesus got away from among them and went on his way. Jesus went down to Capernaum in Galilee. He taught them on the days of rest. The people were surprised and wondered about his teaching. His words had power. A man in the Jewish place of worship had a demon. He cried with a loud voice, "What do you want of us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Jesus spoke sharp words to the demon and said, "Do not talk. Come out of him." When the demon had thrown the man down, he came out without hurting the man. The people were all surprised. They asked each other, "What kind of word is this? He speaks to the demons with power, and they come out." The news about Jesus went through all the country. Jesus went away from the Jewish place of worship and went into Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed, very sick. They asked Jesus to help her. He stood by her and told the disease to leave. It went from her. At once, she got up and cared for them. As the sun went down, the people took all that were sick with many kinds of diseases to Jesus. He put his hands on all of them, and they were healed. Also, demons came out of many people. The demons cried out and said, "You are Christ, the Son of God." Jesus spoke strong words to them and would not let them speak. They knew he was the Christ. In the morning, he went out to a desert. The people looked for him. When they found him, they were trying to keep him from going away from them. He said to them, "I must preach about the holy nation of God in other cities also. This is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the Jewish places of worship in Galilee. Well, in Luke 4, Jesus gave us the perfect plan for when we are being tempted. Remember this, beloved. Jesus was fully human, as well as fully God. So the temptations that Satan threw at him really were temptations. Jesus had flesh, just like you and I. And notice the very first temptation that Satan put in front of Jesus. Jesus had been in the desert for 40 days, and he had not eaten. And then it says that he was hungry when Satan came to him. Now, normally in a fast, after a certain amount of time, you lose the sensation of hunger. But that sensation returns when you are actually beginning to starve to death. So Satan came to Jesus when he was physically very weak. The very first temptation was for Jesus to turn the stones into bread. Satan knew that Jesus was a man, so he went after the needs of his flesh. Some people can't say no to their flesh. And I don't think I need to say that the temptations of the flesh are more than just about food, right? The desires of the flesh are some of the most basic urges we have. Animals are almost completely controlled by this, but humans have the ability to exert control over these urges. And God's Word is full of exhortations to do just that. And we know that when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can say no to the flesh. The next temptation was what some have called the lust of the eyes. I read this one more as a lust for power. Satan showed Jesus all the nations of the world at one time and said that he could have power and glory over them all if he would just worship Satan. Some people have a ravenous desire for power. I think we've seen that a lot in 2020 and in our current political struggle here in the U.S. The third temptation was to force God to do a miracle to save him. Remember, Satan told Jesus, "Throw yourself off of this high place, and God will send his angels to save you." Well, one might say also that Satan tempted Jesus to twist Scripture. There are people, you know this, that crave signs and wonders. They'll follow anyone who claims to have a supernatural power. And some people do twist Scripture for their own gain, don't they? During the end times, the Antichrist will seem to have supernatural powers, and many will be fooled. So those were the temptations. What did Jesus do in order to overcome each one? He correctly applied and quoted Scripture. Yes, Satan quoted Scripture to Jesus, but he twisted and misapplied it. Jesus did not twist it, and he correctly applied it. Beloved, this is why it is so important to know God's Word and to memorize it. If you listen to this podcast every day, if it is your aim to go with me all the way through the Bible, that's a great start. But unless you have a photographic memory, which I don't have, going through the Bible just once won't suffice. I pray that you'll develop a lifelong habit of reading through the Bible. I have a Bible that my great-grandmother owned, and there are notes in that Bible that show that she read the Bible through 3 times. But I'm quite sure that this is not her only Bible. I'd be shocked if she hadn't read the Bible through many, many more times in her lifetime, and she had a very long lifetime, and I think she gave her heart to the Lord when she was a little girl. She passed away before I was really a Bible student myself, so I won't know for sure about that until I see her again in heaven. And I myself have recorded the entire Bible 3 times. And you know what? Even now, I'll read passages that seem completely new to me, as if I'd never read them before. As I said, I don't have the best memory, so it's incredibly important for me to keep reading. God gave us His Word so that we could learn it so well that it becomes a part of us. Why? Because the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness tells us how Jesus overcame Satan's attacks with the Word of God. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 tells us, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice, beloved, that all but one of the items spoken of here as the full armor of God are defensive in nature. The belt, the breastplate, the covering for the feet, the shield, and the helmet. The only offensive item, the only weapon spoken of, is the sword. A warrior's primary method to overcome the enemy is with his weapon. The weapon from this passage from Ephesians is, quote, "the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God," unquote. And beloved, listen, a warrior must learn how to use his weapon if he wants to be victorious. It is not good enough to just be able to hold the weapon. If he doesn't train with it, not only will he not be able to use it effectively, but the enemy can actually use it against him, as Satan tried to do with Jesus. We are in a spiritual battle, beloved. More so now, I think, than in any time in my lifetime. And spiritual battles are not fought with physical might. They are primarily fought on our knees in prayer, wielding the sword of the Spirit. This podcast is one way to prepare you for the fight. This is a little bit like an army's armory, where you get your weapons, where you get your ammunition. And I'm really very, very honored to be just a very small part of this process for you. And I thank you for allowing me into your life in this way. But beloved, it's up to each one of us to learn how to use the Word of God. We have to stock up on the ammunition. We have to memorize the Word of God. We must hide it in our hearts. I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow we'll read 2 Corinthians chapters 11 through 13. Remember, Lifespring Media's 16th anniversary is 1 week away, November 13th. Take a look at lifespringmedia.com/support for more details on the anniversary donations and for just more information on the value-for-value model of support. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.